Howdy, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of the SCP Black Files podcast. Tonight, myself, Husky Wolf, and Fisherman Murray are going to be doing a shop talk about SCP, how we got into it, and what we do in the hobby outside of podcasting. So get ready for this special installment and strap in. Hello everyone, welcome to a special episode of the SCP Black Files podcast. So, we're going to be discussing a bit more of what our host program, the SCP Foundation Wiki, is today, and how we all got involved. I'm the administrator, and today I'm joined by Husky Wolf and Fisherman Bird. Do you want to just quick say hi?
Hello!
Hello!
Alright, now that that's out the way. So, let's start out. I can say how I got involved in SCP, then I'm thinking I'll pass it to one of you two. Probably Fish, then we'll go to Husky.
Oh, shoot.
I'm giving you time. I'll start us off.
Okay.
So, I got introduced to the SCP Foundation probably... That would have been pre-2016. Probably about 2015 at this point. So, about 6 years ago. Then I just, I think, happened upon... one of the early articles. I think it was 049 was my first article. Then it kind of has turned into a pseudo-obsession from there, ranging from working on a tabletop RPG to making, well, a podcast at this point.
Yeah.
So how did you get introduced to this, Fish?
Well, I'm trying to pull up the exact date of it now. It's long dead at this point, but way back... It looks to be around 6 years ago, so around the, I guess, a similar time period that you did, me and my friends, back then, we had wanted to do YouTube for a while, so, well, mainly me. So I was looking at things to do, and I just kind of piggybacked off the ideas of other people at the time, because I didn't know how to think for myself, really. And through there, I found that a lot of people that I liked watching videos from were doing this game called SCP Containment Breach. I had no clue anything about SCP, but because they were doing it, I downloaded it, and we uploaded this really awful video because we were awful at YouTube and we were just kind of hoping it would work. So, we published...
Does this video still exist? Oh, does this still exist?
It does, but it's unlisted because, God, I don't want people finding it.
Ooh, I really want to watch those.
I really would prefer if other people did not watch this.
Probably fair enough. Sleeping Dogs Lie and all that.
Yeah, anyway, after doing that, I wanted to look more into it because, you know, the Containment Breach as a game was a very interesting game, so I wanted to see what it was based off of. And, eventually, that led down the rabbit holes of people explaining what SCPs were back then. I think there were less SCP explained channels and things of that sort. I know I found one on 173. It's just so long ago, I can't remember a bunch of the ones of who I watched, but I was very interested, so I kept looking into it. Eventually, me and my friend just moved on to other things, and around a year ago, I got back into it on my own, and I was binging videos and stuff like that, and a couple months ago, I stumbled across an ad for, I forgot where I heard of it, actually. I thought it was an ad, maybe it wasn't, but I remember hearing from somewhere that there was an SCP tabletop being released. And I checked it out, and I just graduated, so I had a lot of graduation money on me. And so I was looking at the tiers, and I saw this $200 tier, where you got to add your own SCP. And me and my friends were joking around, and I was like, hey guys, wouldn't it be stupid if I spent, like, most of my money on adding an SCP to this book? And that's exactly what I did. And I only regret it by, like, by like 40%. So I'd say it was a good decision.
Weren't you the first $200 donor for the SCP tabletop RPG?
No,
Right, that would have been Roya who was first. I think you were literally the second $200 donor we had.
I forgot which one I was, but I remember, I think there were actually others beforehand. I added SCP-001 to it, specifically the one where, you know, when day breaks. My second pick was SCP-5000-Y, but at the time, I was more infatuated by SCP-001. I just felt like that one intrigued me more. That's the one I went with at the time.
Honestly, one of my favorite additions, just story-wise, to the book. Seeing that SCP get in there, the art, how it all stuck together, felt really nice.
Yeah. Back before I became a moderator on the server, there was this one competition, I forgot who hosted it, but one of the $200 donors backed out, I believe. So we were doing some kind of contest, and basically, one of the administrators, I think it was Roya, he was, whoever could guess what his favorite SCP was, got to put that $200 donors tier into the book. And I remember I was trying to get that for $500, but eventually somebody else got it. And I remember, I remember they put it up further in the chat. Ah, I still remember that because I felt so salty at myself because I couldn't scroll up. It was up there in the chat and I just missed it. Do you remember that contest?
Yes, I remember that one. For whatever reason, they weren't responding to their email. They didn't give their Discord. There was no other way to contact them. They weren't responding on Kickstarter. So after a couple of months, Zombie just sort of rationed it off.
Yeah.
We had a few of those, I think, actually. Not just one.
I only remember the one big one.
Well, we're Royals. We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. I think we should head on. Husky, how'd you get involved in SCP?
Well, I know it was quite a while ago, probably about 6 years ago, that I saw, it wasn't Containment Breach, but it was, I think I had seen enough, like, thumbnails and screenshots of Containment Breach that I was like, that looks cool, and then I had probably stumbled across the article for 173, and I found the Unkillable Lizard, and I kind of had, like, a couple of SCPs that I liked, and I didn't, at the time, think it was much bigger than that, and I kind of got bored and found other things that I liked more, and then, let's see, probably 2 years ago, I started getting back into it, especially when I started seeing it on YouTube, just having people narrate it, and then seeing how big it had gotten, looking through the wiki, looking through groups, and I had spent quite a few hours just poring through the wiki. After that, I eventually wanted to run some sort of tabletop RPG with SCP stuff, because my friends didn't know a ton about it, but I knew they'd be interested, especially if they were just able to play a normal game. And so I was hoping someone had at least homebrewed something, and funny enough, I had actually found a Call of Cthulhu expansion that a lot of people were using to run SCP, and I was kind of planning on using that.
That would have been Delta Green, right?
Yeah, Delta Green, and then there was another one which was more standard for just modern settings, but both of those were recommended. And so I was going to use one of those and put together a campaign, but I never got around to it because there were already things that I was working on. And eventually, I just kind of forgot that I had found them. I went to go look for another SCP tabletop, and I found this game here, and I've been around now for about a year, somewhere around there. And have become the head moderator of the Discord, and, you know, a member of this podcast. So, I think at this point it's safe to say I'm pretty, you know, in with the community.
So I realize we've talked a bit about how we got in on the hobby. What is the hobby, though? I know that's not always super easy when you're just getting into this field, understanding what SCP is. So I'm going to spitball a few words here. Tell me how they hit with you guys, if you agree, disagree, how you feel about it. I feel like SCP is a communal writing project. Thousands of creators around the globe have gotten in writing these little case files, stories, tales, in this fantasy world where the what's behind the poster is popped out and is beginning to rear its claws. And the question really is, how much is there? As we see with the rollout of the new Series 7 SCPs, we're seeing everything ranging from intergalactic telephones to a painting that teleports people. And in this completely theoretical setting that doesn't abide by science, we get these amazing cosmic horror-esque creatures. Would you agree that's kind of the spirit, or what do you guys think if you were to expand on that?
I think that's definitely one very big aspect of it. I think another important part of it is that it's really not locked down to anything specific, and anything can fit into some form of the narrative. And I don't know the exact story behind, like, the author itself, but SCP-999 is a good example, which is just a little slime that eats candy, and when it touches people, it makes them happy. And it just goes around hugging people because it likes people, and it's just allowed to walk around the facility. Anyone's allowed to go and talk to it. It cures depression, and that's just a really wholesome aspect of the universe. There's quite a few of those as well. There's also quite a few tragic stories that are fairly separate from the larger parts of the narrative with, you know, cosmic horrors and the like. I think there's quite a few different things, and in my opinion, there's something that can fit anyone as long as they're willing to look for it, because there's quite a few articles to look through, but I think that's also the benefit of having it on YouTube. It's super easy to access. There's art being drawn of it, and a lot of other communities being built around it to recommend other articles that they enjoy, so I really enjoy the cosmic horror part of it, but I think there's plenty of other sort of smaller narratives inside of that.
On that front, actually, you brought up a case. There's an article for everyone, and I think we could actually stem into something that Fish said. You were talking about SCP-001.
Yes.
Or one of them.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to kind of elaborate on what the When Daybreaks proposal is in-world? Why do we care about this story? What made it so impactful to you?
What made 001 impactful to me was the fact that there was a lot of the people on the SCP Wiki, they have to be, and obviously, you know, because SCP Wiki, there's a approval system where if an article isn't liked enough, obviously, then it won't fill that position. I think it's like 10 likes from official Wiki users or something like that. I can't remember the exact amount. But so obviously there's a degree of quality expected in most of these articles. But I remember 001, it just struck me differently than most other articles. There's some articles on the Wiki, you know, like 5000 or 001, that clearly the writers of these articles, there's a, whenever you write something to that length that these articles did, obviously they're not books, they're not massive, but they're longer than I'd say some standard articles you may find. And whenever you write something that long, it's very easy to slip up on your writing. And there's also a lot of emotion present in both these stories in different ways. Like in 001, the sun vanishes. There's a ton of emotions that you can feel from the character in the story. Similar, I feel like 5,000, it may have mostly been emotions that I felt from the world, from the turn it was trying to go with. In both of them, they were just very well written. And to me, I was able to feel certain emotions from them that from normal SCP articles, I wasn't able to feel. Back whenever the first articles came out, like 173 and things of that sort, it kind of took off as a horror project where everyone saw it and the first articles, and they saw the horror that these people were putting out, and they wanted to try and aspire to it. You know, they thought that SCP was supposed to be all about horror, and so that's how it originally took off, and that's kind of the tone it goes with in the book. And I don't have a problem with that, but some articles take off in a different way, like 5,000, where there's still those horror roots, but if at least with those, what really made me feel connection to them is that they're able to connect with you as a reader, where, you know, you're able to feel more than those original articles do. And that's how I personally grow attached to certain articles. Whenever you don't have to be the scariest story in the world. All you have to do in order to become successful, at least in my eyes, if I was the person approving them, I've never been able to actually get one of those approved titles on the wiki. But if I was, all you'd really need to do to get my like is be able to make me have a connection at some point to something in the article, that, and as long as you're able to do that, then you've shown that you, I'm trying to find the right words. It's just that you're very passionate about what you're writing, and in that way that you've been able to express something to the degree you have, or make others be able to connect to it as well as they're able to. There's multiple ways to write a story, and a lot of people and a lot of articles are able to do it differently. That's personally what I like to see whenever I'm going through it, but obviously others have their own tastes. If y'all have any differing opinions, that's perfectly fine.
Because I've stumbled into the same type of articles. I love these heavy horror. I have a big passion. You brought up Call of Cthulhu. That's one of my big passions outside SCP. I run Call of Cthulhu games. I run any RPGs I can get my hands on. But with the liking of these horror RPGs, I find there's some importance of understanding the actual aspects of fear. Like, what scares you? And SCP latches on to these most carnal fears. Rot, decay. But on the other side of the spectrum, desolation. And it just does it so well, where you're just hit with it, and you don't know how to react as you're reading through these. Yeah. Do you feel fear, or do you get like a beating interest in what you're reading?
Yeah, I think it does a good job of terror as opposed to horror. It has its fair share of horror as well, but it's a lot of the like tenseness, and it's not something that like freezes you in place. It just makes you cautious about going forward. And there are plenty of examples where it's much more horrific, but I think there's a lot more terror in this, and especially since there's a big feeling of like the employees, you know, depending on who you're talking about, must know something, the Foundation employees. They're part of this shadow organization, and a lot of them work on these, you know, paranormal anomalies. And it's not really something that you can stop and, like, get away from. But it makes you tense, it makes you cautious, it makes you worried about what's happening in the background. And there's a lot of that.
Like, what's the joke? Don't look at the sky, don't look at the water, don't look at anything. Keep your eyes closed, ears shut. When that is the active recommendation your community puts to you if you were to go into the world, something about that fear is real at that point, I think.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, like, interpretations in the SCP universe is that because it's all made up of different writers, is we have multiple interpretations of the same world. We've created different continuities, you know, like there's one where the Foundation is like exposed to the world and like
Broken Masquerade. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like we have all these different writers who've written all these SCPs, and some of them, I believe with how they've written, are made to, in the continuity, go into this one or go into that one in certain ways. And the fact that writers are able to have this kind of freedom, it's something that I've really come to respect in the Foundation, I guess. Well, not the Foundation, in the SCP Wiki. My bad. I find it very interesting.
Like, I keep locking back into this O1 proposal. I love these O1 proposals as I read through them. Ouroboros Cycle, Sheaf of Papers, Gate Guardian, Scarlet King. You've got all these stories that they just told something different. But then we go into the general SCP body and we get hit by these other things that are weird in their own right. Like, again, 5,000, 173. The 000 proposal is just, it messes with you when you read these. Because it's like pulling back the Band-Aid and seeing this underlying scab of what's formed. And what's been creative as we've kept this kind of story covered for so long and have only really started just now getting into the public eye as a group. Like, I don't know how many people really knew what the SCP Wiki or Foundation world was 2 years ago. We had our niche, and that was it. There was no one really... It wasn't a common knowledge thing. But now, we're popping up in news broadcasts. That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, it's also... I agree that there is a bit of how widespread it is will control like what areas it shows up in. But at least for me and my friend group, like we've known about it for at least six years now. And for me and my friends, it shows up quite commonly. I feel like what determines how it affects reaching out to others is more... Like, as it grows and more people find out about it, it's able to relate to more groups. You know, so me and my friends, we all play video games online. So obviously, you know, eventually we came across this game and it's been a huge interest since then. So as other people put out movies or other types of games, like fan movies, fan animations, fan games, it reaches out to more places where more consumers are able to get their hands on and find out about and spread it to who they like, and it just keeps snowballing from there.
Yeah, I think
on that...
Oh, sorry. I think there were plenty of people who had seen it, had been exposed to it, but never really got into it properly, because I feel like for a while the wiki sort of seemed like a daunting thing or something that a lot of people didn't know existed, so a lot of people saw SCP Containment Breach and thought this was just a horror game. That's all it is. It's a, you know, one-off thing, you know, original entirely sort of thing. But in fact, if you look closely, there's quite a few references, and I believe the game mentions the wiki in like the title screen or somewhere. But a lot of people don't, you know, didn't at the time know that those games and the wiki were connected.
So I kind of want to tack on to something Fish said a bit ago.
Okay.
Of digital media in the SCP world. Like, well, not in the SCP world. of the SCP world, more specifically. Like, we were talking... Let's talk the good and the bad. I think let's start off with that bad, the bad channels.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I feel like that's probably the best place to start. Obviously, everyone's got their own tastes.
Yeah.
Do you find any groups that you aren't a fan of that have come to the SCP community with this new spotlight we've received? Because I'll start us off, because I know there's one specific type of group that I'm very displeased to see us come to the community. In that we've had this... We've had these... They aren't SCP explained channels. They're SCP short channels. That are confusingly targeted towards kids.
Yeah.
10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 8-year-olds. I don't understand that. This community has always been a much more 16-plus kind of community. 15, 14 plus. This ain't kiddie rodeo. It's very much there's blood, there's guts, there's gore. We know that.
Yeah.
We love the community for that.
Yeah, I remember there was a bit of an issue with a certain channel who was accused of like sort of targeting their stuff towards kids, which was arguable either way, but if I could definitely see a short channel doing that much more intensely, because
I think we're talking about the same channel here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, whenever it comes to topics like, not just with SCP, but whenever it comes to targeting towards children, I have a very negative perception towards things of that, because whenever you dumb down content to fit your perception of what a child should be watching, you're kind of robbing that child of experiences they could learn by viewing more media with more substance to it. By dumbing things down, you're not making content to help children. You're putting out content to distract the child so that way they'll stop crying in front of their parents, and because the child likes it because it's entertaining, the parents never do anything about that could be more beneficial for the child. Like, whenever I'm looking at... I was a lot younger whenever I discovered SCP. Like, let's see. I was just about... I think I was just about to turn 13, so I was still technically a child at the time. So, you know... Obviously, I don't think I perfectly fit that area, because I was able to venture out into more topics, it made me have a more diverse group of things I was interested in for whenever I developed into the person I am now. By dumbing things down just to entertain children, you're taking away from them being able to discover things they like and learn more about themselves and the world they're in. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, that's the community and media as a whole benefits when we don't shy away from what the community was based on.
Yeah, I think that you should just be whole with your content. You shouldn't have to dumb it down or take away from the original content, because at that point it's more pandering towards certain things. You should be able to be whole and go forward with the whole topic. There's no need to censor certain things down.
Like, I remember watching one of these videos where it's a 7-minute video doing a quote-unquote deep dive on SCP-096. Jeez. And that isn't a 7-minute case file.
Yeah.
You can go into that case file, read it flat, in 45 minutes. So seeing a 7-minute video, so much is lost on the content of what that SCP is. You aren't seeing the cross-interactions that we're seeing, the 049 testing logs, and all these different testing logs.
Yeah.
sorry, not 049, 173 testing logs with him. And, or the 682, all that kind of stuff. Just these cross testings, which delve deeper into what this character is.
Yeah, there's definitely a chunk of misleading content about that, but I'd say there's also a fair amount of content that does, even if it doesn't do an entire explanation of an SCP, they don't advertise to do that. It is, they're not going to say, like, introduction, but it's just, like, SCP blank, and that is just, like, sort of the containment procedures, the description, and anything sort of extra about the SCP itself, and then they would probably do separate videos on their channel about cross-testing between this and this, because that was interesting, and sort of those stories that they do want to elaborate on. I've seen that quite a bit, which is fair. A lot of people don't want to sit for 30-40 minutes to learn all about it, and videos in different sections are more appealing.
So I think we're gonna take a quick mid-roll and give us a few moments to break. So, all right, now that we're coming back off ad break, I think let's get to that other topic. We're talking about the bad SCP YouTube channels. Let's talk about some of the good. I think a really easy spot to start with is Evan Royalty with both SCP Overlord and SCP Dollhouse. For those who don't know what those are kind of like addendums. Like, they're test logs of, well, not even test logs, they're entry logs of first exploration of custom SCPs. SCP Overlord, spoiler warning for both these, SCP Overlord and SCP Dollhouse. Go watch the videos if you haven't already seen them. They're on YouTube.
They're amazing.
From the YouTube channel Evan Royalty. But yeah, okay. SCP Overlord's focus in on this, I don't even know what to call it other than tentacle monster that's okay. Invisible to human eye. And more specifically, a religion that seems to have founded around it, or is working around it. And we see a MTF, Mobile Task Force, squad enter and do a raid, and really bust into this SCP and do initial exploration.
Which, I guess for, if it's not obvious, with the whole raiding, these are the, like, highly trained military, Navy SEAL-esque officers of the Foundation. So, they're all trained for different purposes, and this one goes in. Did they ever say what unit they were?
They were a mixture unit, if we saw. We saw groups from Hammerdown to Mole Rats. A majority of, if you remember, the guys on the outside of the building at the very end there, those guys are 8 of 10, if I remember right. Zeta 9. It's a mixture. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Mole Rats.
I believe it was like the House Wreckers that went into the house itself.
Home Wreckers. You are right. That is Home Wreckers that did entry.
Yeah.
But they also had secondary support. I don't remember if they had Dreamwalkers on site, because that'd be the other one. We should probably quick explain what these task forces are. So, let me pull up a document here. So, just to get us off from the top, I can start talking about Mole Rats. Zeta 9 Mole Rats is a task force in Foundation lore that, how to phrase it, that focuses primarily on dealing with anomalies that warp temporal space. If your mind doesn't process it properly, mole rats, and it usually is also to do with enclosed spaces, I should specify. So, the mole rats come in. They're trained in anti-cognito hazard methods to deal with enclosed temporal spaces that might shift around them. So we see this happen where in Overlord, they make a comment where we'll get a mole rat in here to come investigate this hole after... I can't remember his name. Do you remember the main guy's name?
I don't.
Mr. Plaidshirt?
I do not off the top of my head. I'm sorry. jeez. But yep, the main character tosses a glow stick down this hole and no bottom. So they call up a task force to come check this out. What we realize later is this hole is going to lead into the body of the SCP, where, like, the actual creature is. But we're just seeing how these task forces are interacting. So that's Zeta 9. And I was looking to pull up the file. Let me pull up the file on Ohm Records.
I believe they are mostly just equipped for, raiding buildings, if I remember correctly, although obviously houses is sort of like what you'd expect. But I think they're just sort of built for, you know, entering a building, clearing it, and securing it.
Yeah, I really liked what we got in Overlord and Dollhouse, but one of my only big problems with those is we never get to see any capture specialists. You know, like in SCP, you know, the C is a big, basically securing the SCPs is a big part. We get to see the units, you know, investigating. It's unfortunate that we never see any people trying to secure them. As of yet. Maybe we'll get that in the future. That'd be interesting.
We actually, from another short film guy, Mr. Clay, put out a short called 096, which does a brilliant job of the actual containment efforts. So 096 is focused on this, well, the infamous SCP-096. Probably going to put a quick spoiler warning here. If you haven't watched the 096 SCP short film on YouTube, another amazing viewing. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of these amazing short films on YouTube coming out now, the past 2 years. This one holds that containment piece you're talking about perfectly. So you see this entry of a squad who are trying to contain 096 after a breakout attempt, where he was seen. I think this was actually the initial containment log translated to a video. So what we see, though, is at the very end of the video, well, not even at the end, you see it even earlier, you see a ring of operatives surround SCP-096 from a top-down infrared view, or a top-down dot view, more realistically, where they have this, they're displaying on a 3D screen, or, sorry, a 2D screen, and you see the agent, you hear the agents talking, get the bag on its head, keep its face covered, look away from its face. And this log does a perfect representation of the procedures used to defend against 096.
Nice.
Because even more, they introduce Scramble Gear, which has had a rocky history, I think we can agree. But this is the test log that leads to the batch of SCP-096 termination logs. And it's brilliantly done. The actors hit their roles perfectly. They portray the kind of aloofness of the MTF of, we've done this 10 times before, we'll do it another 10 kind of belief structure.
Yeah.
You can really see how these guys have not gone bonkers at this point of years with this world.
Yeah.
To not overuse a pretty good quote, they got used to the awfulness. But yeah, really what that reminds me of, though, is it's one of the SCP games. It's SCP Pandemic. New one coming up on Kickstarter. You know the one, Fish?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I've heard about it, too.
That's another really good one on the... It's more like Overlord in my eyes and Dollhouse than it is like the SCP-096 video. But it hits a lot of the same chords that these good MTF-based videos do.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of their demos. In fact, I'm just amazing at mismanaging money whenever I get it. I was so impressed with the demos I saw that I may have accidentally backed it because it looks like an amazing game.
Just how... now I'm just curious. Is there... Are we ever going to get to see video of you possibly playing this?
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't know, man.
I really want to see video of you playing this. Or else I'll make the video and I'll play it.
Give me your key, I'll play.
You'll see some fun video come out of that.
Oh, man. I think it has, like, multiplayer with up to 8 players. Yeah. So if y'all ever get the game, feel free to let me know, man.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I know playing alone, especially on, like, well, I mean, whenever I am playing alone, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to do too well. That'd make for a video full of just me having to reduce the volume in certain areas, because horror by myself, I don't normally tend to do too well.
Ah, yeah, it's perfect.
Again, so, why most of those videos are not available anymore.
Nicely done.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, definitely, we'll have to look into that as a future project.
Oh, no.
I find that project especially cool as a guy who comes from playing Arma, Rainbow Six, and a lot of these tactical shooters at this point. Love how it looks. I love that they've included leaning. I'm very questioning of their weapon system right now and how the guns will actually feel.
Yeah.
But mechanically, it has a lot of big potential. Yeah. It could be really good.
I agree. I was looking at their Kickstarters for their inspirations, and one of my favorite games while I was growing up was SWAT 4, and I saw that they're trying to get the tactics, their tactics are inspired by SWAT 4, so I'm very curious to see what they do with that.
See, I know I've mentioned Rainbow already, I really hope they pull in the Rainbow Six New Vegas, Rainbow Six Vegas aesthetics of how you just have these just massive arena spaces where you're coming in and you're dealing with threats that they have the cover, they've got the protection, you're not ready for them, they're ready for you kind of threats, because that's I think something that game could really sell off with, since it's sort of like they're using the SCP-5000 as the 5000 as its setting in a really weird way.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, it's sort of a rogue MTF element working in the 5000 canon, which is the Foundation has sort of waged war against humanity for some unknown reason.
Well, we do kind of, let's be very fair, we do kind of know what's happened.
Oh, shoot.
The Foundation wages war, if we remember in the canon, because they've been replaced. This is a really big thing in lore, talking about the group of the O5 Council. For those who don't know what the SCP, know a lot about SCP, the O5 Council are kind of like the leaders of the Shadow Council. That is SCP. They're the Shadow Council of the Shadow Council.
Yes.
And we're going to ignore the fact that there's a bigger Shadow Council ahead of them, too. But we're going to pretend that one doesn't exist.
And then the Shadow Man.
Yes, the Shadow Man. And don't forget about the Shadow Man behind the Shadow Man.
Oh, shoot.
Isn't it like Founder, Administrator, Ethics Council, O5 Council, O4s, O3s, O2s, O1s, then D-Class is like the power arrangement in the Foundation?
Yeah, I guess D-Class would still be 0, but that's just D-Class. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They don't even have class 0 clearance, do they? Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry. Literally everyone else, D-Class.
Well, in that canon, yes. Everybody else in the entire world has suddenly been listed as D-Class.
Yes, the entire world has been subjected to D-Class termination procedures.
That's really canon is suddenly they've deemed everyone D-Class, they're guinea pigs, and all of them have broken out and must be either contained or killed. And that's that.
But I do think we should give just distinguished service in that canon to the GOC. Stepping up, uniting the different goys, groups of groups of interest. By like GOC stands for Global Occult Coalition. It's NATO's solution to the SCP threats, the anomalous threats, which their solution's fun. It's blasted out of the water. Doesn't exist on my Earth.
Except for the magic. No, sorry, the science.
Yeah, but we're gonna pretend that doesn't happen.
Right. Oh,
yeah, I'd like to pretend that doesn't exist. Because it brings up many core questions. How is the Foundation the head power in this world? How has this occurred? And why?
I mean, I've always seemed to think that they're just the first. And they've just kind
had
of
more time.
Yeah, they've been around the longest, and they have made enough deals and have enough locations that they just have the resources.
Don't we know, like, the Sarkics and the Church of the Broken God are older? By, like, thousands of years later?
That's definitely true, though I think they're a little less organized.
I am going to also argue that Marshall Carter and Dark has been in existence since the start of human history, just in different forms. I like the idea that they sold fire to the first caveman.
I know that this is besides the point, but do you think that we could take a minute to discuss the podcast itself?
Yeah, we could probably get to that. So, yeah, the SCP Black Files podcast is kind of an interesting thing that we've begun to put together here. We're, what, 8 hours of recording in? 7 hours of recording? Of episodes? And we're starting to build a story of some type, with just some interesting characters.
Yeah, my character, everyone knows him. He's the timid one, always in the back, totally never causing issues. Yes. Yeah, he's totally that guy.
Yeah, no flipping issues. I do want to, just for a bit of background of this, so for Norik's character, I think I've had to do more research into death rules and how to run them properly than any other character I've ever run in this game. He's the first PC I've actually had to make do death rolls. I don't understand how.
We haven't even gotten into like proper combat, and he's already rolling death
combat
rolls.
And he's dying. I'm scared for this party's safety when they are rolling death rolls.
Oh man! Well, yeah, maybe we'll get to test combat out in the future.
Yeah, I'm very nervous about that.
Oh man, like the enemy is like we're talking like please don't hurt us, and they just turn back and they're like, "What do you mean? We're not going to hurt you." My character just puts his gun up. "Oh, my bad. Sorry, y'all." They just shoot me. Oh, my bad. I believe them. Sorry, everyone.
I've been rolling the dice now. Well, I'm rolling the dice then. And I'm going to place my bet. Norik will find a way to kill himself by episode 50. I am placing the bet now.
Oh, yeah.
15?
No, 50.
Oh, well, you're making it too easy.
So, I am placing the bet now, folks. Mark this down. Episode 8, the interlude to the podcast, this Q&A. I am stating, what's the date right now of recording? It is 11:25 p.m. on August 25th, 2021. I will tell you, within, so we do 5 episodes a month, just about 5-6 episodes a month. So, what's that? So 50 episodes, let's say 5 months.
Okay.
Within the next 10 months, Norik will find a way to kill himself.
Within the first year.
Yeah, within the next 50, I don't even think I need to say 50 episodes. It could be 25.
Yeah.
I could completely conceivably see 25 by episode 25.
Well, I mean, the next time he gets drugged, he's just gonna, like, think that he's been, had, like, all of his organs harvested, and he's gonna, like, grab a shiv and try and run at a guard, I swear.
Probably.
He's like, I am no longer a doctor. I am a warrior. I need to get my organs. They're mine. Give them back.
Duke is going to find a way to, like, leave the party behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, Duke's going to find a way to ditch the party.
No, me and Duke will both ditch the party.
No, I could complete... This is my current standing bet by the end of the game. Duke has run away and just said, screw you all.
No, he didn't leave. He had to run away, you know. My character had to make it hard for him.
Yeah. Norik is going to kill himself on accident by episode 25. And then we have... Husky, your character is going to flip and be there episode 200. Just alive.
Yeah, they're gonna be sitting at a bar, just like getting drunk off their ass and contemplating, what did I do to get here?
I am calling it now. Your character is gonna make it to the end. Norik is gonna do something stupid, as if that's a surprise. I feel like I diss on poor Norik too much.
Oh no, I think it's well, I think it's worthy.
It's worthy, but I think I'm too cruel about it.
He just wanted the salty water in the hospital, you know? They didn't like that.
That audio line. I was sitting there. That saline fluid.
God.
What do you mean? You put it on my dinner? It's on my table. What do you mean it's not for me?
So it is literally just sodium chloride and water. That's all saline is.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's drinkable, but it wouldn't be good.
I regret not saying hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide would have been so much funnier.
Out of curiosity, Husky, what do you think of, like, the process building up, and, like, what has been your favorite moment up to this point?
Would it be if you had to pick one? Norik falling through a window with a chair? Bad Rhino breaking into a library? The multiple occasions where Bad has just decided to leave your characters behind and sit in a restaurant? That one sticks in my mind pretty clearly. Yeah. He's willing to go sit in a restaurant while you all do stuff.
I think, honestly, my favorite so far, I think, has been as sort of sloppy as it was, the meeting with the mystery man in the forest.
I think I literally came up with that on the fly of doing that episode.
Of course.
I love that because I don't know...
I try to throw checks in occasionally just to make sure the flow is going and make sure to keep people on their toes. Entirely times, there are cases where I call for checks with nothing planned behind them. And those are the checks people fail. I just need to expect it at this point. I need to have my chaos deck prepared.
Well, no, the thing with that was that it was me making the check, and I have great perception, so I was able to tell that somebody behind Norik had stepped on a branch.
But if I remember right, Norik critically failed a perception check just before that or something like that. It was after that, I think.
I didn't need to lose an eye to have bad perception.
No. No, because I think you had critically failed after I told you there was someone coming after you, and then you were like, there's no one, and then you realized you didn't bring your briefcase, and so you ran back. And you, like, clarified that it wasn't because you think someone is chasing you, you think it's because you don't have a gun and you don't want to get jumped by, like, an animal. I'm like, what? I just told you someone's following you.
I don't know if y'all, like, remember, but, like, whenever we were talking to that man, I didn't get angry at him until he refused to not have dinner with us. Like, I was all chill with him until he said no to dinner.
Okay, so I do want to put something out just so it's on recording. I think there is something to be said that when we get our Ko-fi page up and running, I have a reward set in mind.
Oh, no.
I have one core thing when we hit a few milestones. I've got a few, actually. The one that sticks in my mind is, take that man to dinner.
In the meantime, I'll just be hunting him down.
It's that, and the other one that comes probably just before that is kill off one character of your choice. I like this idea a lot. It's funny as heck.
Oh no.
just kneecap him. Just remove the knees.
Yes.
I'll pull a Call of Cthulhu on you suckers and have, like, someone in a unmarked van drive up, roll down the front windows, unload into your car, drive away.
Oh no.
Oh shoot. Quite literally.
Yeah. Or there's also the grenade strategy. There's so many fun ways to do PC death. I mean, so many fun ways for engaging PC scenarios.
Right, yeah, right.
You know, like...
firearms, grenades, explosives.
I hope...
tremendous death monsters. There's so many good options.
I hope Norik lives long enough from his own decisions to see some of these for his own eyes.
I hope not.
Oh no, I want to see how Norik reacts to these things. I'm so curious.
I feel like if he does get to the point where he experiences, like, major chaos deities, he's gonna become his own cultist. I just feel that about this character. And I just don't know if I want that. Do I roll the threat difficulty up just enough to like edge stupid decision making and just take care of the threat before it happens?
He'll just keep this persona of this religious scholar, and then it turns into this weird obsession over this weird SCP, and suddenly he's become like an anti-agent, switches over, becomes a rebel, tries to run off with the SCP.
Oh, Church of the Broken God. Yes, I'm a religious scholar. You know what? I like you people. Let's go.
This pistol is mine.
Surprise. I've gone through your backstory, and I can completely see that as a continuation of the story.
Oh, no.
Mind if I do a quick line drop of the backstory?
Oh, no.
Hey, you know what? Go. Yeah, sure. Let's see how...
He comes from wood to steel. He continues the transition. Next time we see him, he'll move from steel to, like, I don't know, a circuit board.
Yeah, from that's
wood. Oh, he's gone from wood to flesh to steel. I support him, but I feel like we've had an amazing conversation tonight, folks. But yeah, as we're getting real tight on time here, I think it's time for us to call this short FAQ Q&A thing to a close.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you all for listening. This has been not quite the SCP Black Files podcast with totally the administrator, Fish, and Husky.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the SCP Black Files podcast. I've been the administrator, and we've had an amazing fireside chat with some important members today. I hope you continue to listen as we continue through our projects. A new episode coming out next Friday, and as always, this is the administrator.